I don't think I've ever heard anything funny about the writing life. There's nothing funny about it. It's just a sad, hideous climb to nothingness, and then you die.
Hello, welcome back to the Ohio Anna Book Festival. I'm Doug Dangler. With me now is Kelly Bean, an associate professor of English at Marshall University, who lives in Huntington, West Virginia, but has Ohio connections, I'm sure, to be here. So let's start off with, what kinds of questions are you working on now, and what are you doing in your current work?
My current work grows out of the book that I'm promoting here, and it's about generational conflict in feminist discourse. But what I found in the research of my first book was that I occupy sort of this liminal space between what is called second wave and what's called third wave, and I didn't find really my own voice reflected back to me in mainstream discussions of feminism or the voices of what I would consider my peers. We were trained in feminism in the early to late 90s, and so we are this strange liminal age group. And so what we're doing is putting together a collection discussing what it's like to be in our sort of half generation.
Okay. A question that I've been asking people is about fiction and poetry and the kind of obligation that may or may not have to engage with issues of current importance, but obviously yours does.
Yeah, and try to.
So tell me about the sorts of, nonfiction almost always engages in one way or another with issues of current importance. How do you feel that it's playing out in this book, or maybe what's your next book that has...
To answer this question with my next book. The next book's going to be called Not Your Mother's Feminism, and I was talking actually to a bunch of women here who have come by to the table about the vicissitudes of entering middle age, and that seems to be what we're not addressing in feminist discourse right now. So in your mid-40s, your children start to leave for college, your parents start to age, you become a different kind of caretaker as a woman, and culturally we really have very little support out there, and politically none, and most of it's being cut, like domestic violence funding was recently cut by the Bush administration. And so I think it's important to get this conversation started.
How concerned do you think newer writers should be with publication? Is that, when do they start thinking about that? At what level? And or maybe you can answer that with when you started thinking about publications.
Honestly, I started thinking about publications when I entered the master's program at Ohio State. And the first thing I sent was published, and then I didn't publish anything else again for like 6 or 7 years, well into my PhD. And actually, I think that the emphasis on publishing is counterproductive to education. I think what we ought to be doing in graduate school is working very hard on learning how to be good writers, and then live a little, get beaten up a little out there, and read a little bit more. And so, the pressure to publish dissertations, how many people have you said, oh, I read your book, and they go, oh, really, the first one? And they're not proud of it. They realize that they were not as sophisticated as they would like to be intellectually. So I worry about the push. And you see it in graduate students' eyes. I mean, they're crazed.
Yeah. I'm attempting to suppress my dissertation as much as possible.
That I did, too. I shredded mine.
Unfortunately, they're electronic now, so I believe I have to set fire to a database somewhere.
Yeah, somebody has it somewhere. And yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. What are you reading at the moment?
I am reading Susan Sontag's On Photography, and it makes me sound ridiculously boring, and I'm not. I promise I'm an interesting person, but I'm reading Simulation and Simulacra, and I'm also reading Toward the Postmodern because I'm working on something. But my fun is I like to read forensic novels, those forensic mysteries where you get to hear about autopsies and...
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Like CSI.
Patricia Cornwell, when she was still writing those are the kinds of books I read for fun.
Okay. Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. You balance off the bloody murders with, other happier.
Yeah, I have to say, I absolutely adore pulp fiction. I absolutely adore the stuff that you can read down the middle of the page while you're watching TV and cooking. It's very, yeah.
What's the funniest or the best anecdote you've heard about the writing life, or one that's happened to you?
I don't think I've ever heard anything funny about the writing life. There's nothing funny about it.
Well, we had somebody
seriously?
Earlier. Seriously, we had...
It's just this sad, hideous climb to nothingness, and then you die, and no one cares about your writing for 100 years. Isn't that how it is?
We'll be...
college.
We'll be taking Kelly to some Prozac, Dr. Bean to some Prozac later today. We had somebody in earlier who was talking about a funny thing that she heard about Dr. Seuss saying.
Oh.
So something like that. But really, you've done an admirable job.
Now you have an anecdote.
An anecdote. But
I can tell you the favorite thing I ever was told about myself as a when I was in graduate school, a friend of mine said, I don't know if this was a compliment or not, but they had heard this comment that Gertrude Stein made about Ernest Hemingway, and it's not so much that he's an interesting person, but that he's interested. And I think that I like that comment. So I guess that's sort of what I aspire to. I'd like to be an interested person.
Okay. What authors do you particularly admire?
Joyce Carol Oates. Okay. She writes a masterpiece every 18 months. Her voice changes dramatically, and she seems to have mastered every prose genre. But I find her difficult to read. I read her very slowly, and I probably only read one of her novels a year because I find them grueling too.
Okay. You have the most positive attitude towards writing of anybody I've talked to today.
Sorry.
That's fine. When were you sure that you wanted to be a writer?
I think most writers would have to admit that they do it because they're good at it. I think hopefully people spend their time doing what they've discovered they do well. And I decided as I started to realize that that was where I got the most positive reinforcement, the most genuine critical response mm-hmm. to whatever work I was doing. And that when I sat back down to work on my writing, whatever the piece was, I could make it better. I knew what to do. So I would say that it was after I wrote my dissertation. It was after I had a full-time job.
And what's your take on writing in a digital age? Writing where you can get things published online, maybe without pay, but you get your name out there. Yeah. Is that good or bad for people coming up, newer authors, newer writers?
Well, I think the proliferation can be a bad thing because it sort of has the cover, or it's the lure of democratized sort of information and discourse, but I think the proliferation of it still forces us to be highly selective about what we read, and we still tend to rely on the same authoritative voices to make those selections. I think progressive news is where most of the interesting writing that I have encountered online is being done, where people are genuinely finding news on their own and not relying on CNN or CBS or MSN. And then you're finding that, writing isn't something that ordinary people can't do. We're not touched by angels. Most people can write. It's a question of the will and the interest.
Mm-hmm. I like that answer. Okay. I want to thank you for coming here, and I hope that you're enjoying the Ohioana Book Festival.
I am.
And that you'll continue your authoring, and we'll hear more about the books that were such as the Post-Backlash
Feminism
book that is available on Amazon. And we'll link to that on this podcast. So thank you very much.
Sure.